I am not really one to cater to holidays and holiday messages, but I believe that this was most appropriate for where we are and what's going on in our lives, and I believe it's what the Lord wanted to share. I was going to share a little bit from my life, and I hope you will take that in light of the context that I'm sharing it from. Father's Day is a unique time. It comes right after Mother's Day in the sense of it's a month later, and you know, Mother's Day, it's, you know, you got to plan 2 weeks in advance on where you're going to take your mother or your wife or whoever out to eat, because if you want to have a reservation and not stand in line all day, you got to plan. Father's Day come and you pull up wherever you want to go. You ain't even got to, where you want to go. Several years ago, I remember, I won't cite who these individuals are because I am not trying to undermine them, nor what they were saying, although I don't necessarily agree with it. They were sharing some information, and they were talking about, in essence, some of our founding fathers. And they were sharing some things from their perspective as far as history. And they were sharing some derogatory things. And it was about individuals who had passed, and these individuals, being that they were passed, they could not defend themselves. So they're bringing up all of this information to taint their reputation and to talk about the things that they were doing. And one Christian leader at a particular time, he began to say, what's happening in our society is it's the dishonoring of fathers. Literally, fatherhood has become something that is easily dishonored and overlooked. One of the reasons fatherhood is so easily dishonored and overlooked is because people are mixing up what a daddy is and what a father is. Amen. It don't take a whole lot to be a daddy. Amen. A moment to make you a daddy, it's going to take a whole lot more than that to make you a father. Amen. Well, let me talk a little bit, and then I'll share with you my title, and we'll step into this. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, having been born in the 60s, I come to understand a particular term that I was unfamiliar with when I was younger. The term was a bastard child. Now, I know you may see that's something, you know, severe for an 8 or 9 year old at that time, but it was because I was being called that. I had to figure out what in the world is that. I mean, you know, some things you know by the way somebody said. It couldn't be good. So I had to find out what it meant to be a bastard child, because I had grown up with no father to that age. I had already had 2 prior last names, trying to figure out which one was appropriate. Now, Deacon Green, this is a different day and time now where that's more acceptable in our society to see single parents. But when I was growing up, it wasn't that acceptable. It was one of those things where all of a sudden your mama went south. You know, she just needed to go south for the summer. For the summer, ended up about a year or so, and she come back and, you know, she come back. So my mama came back, but I stayed south. I'll give him a little while to work on that one, Doug. So I remember, after finally getting back, now this is an 8 or 9 year old child. I said, what is this bastard child thing. And when I found out, it meant that it was a child born out of an illegitimate relationship. I had to figure out my identity. My biological dad was not there. Didn't do anything. He just wasn't there. I mean, physically, he was in the same city that I literally grew up in, but was never there. And I'm not saying that to be detrimental to him. That's just, I'm stating fact. So as an 8 or 9 year old child, I'm trying to process this. And this bastard child terminology. Well, later on, my mom marries. And I'm telling all of this because where I'm going. And when my mom marries, my father, he says, 2 or 3 years later, he tells my mom, he says, I'm not going to have children in my house with different last names. He says, I want to, now you have to understand my dad. My dad and I have had some rough times just growing up, but he said, he and I were talking several years ago, and we were talking again the other day, and he told me this. And I want to share this with you today. He said to me, I told your mama I refuse to have children in my house with different last names. And I told her, from that day forward, I want to adopt you. He said, I want you to have my last name. Now, to most of us, that's no big deal. But when you're an 8 or 9 year old child who's already processed, how do I have two last names? And now here comes another one. Because name means identity. So here's this all this searching for identity. So he gave me an identity. Now, when my dad done that, I now had the opportunity to exercise all of the benefits that came along with his name. Let me turn the corner a little bit. My title for today is, I gave you my name, how are you manifesting it? John chapter 15, verse 16. I gave you my name, how are you manifesting it? The Bible says, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. My first point to you today is my point as an 8 or 9 year old child. That point is simply this. Adoption gives us all the full rights and benefits of the name. Adoption gives us all the full rights and benefits of the name. Let me tell you what I'm saying in the natural, and let me show you what I'm saying in the spirit. In the natural, I have all the rights and benefits. When we go to the family reunion, I don't sit there and look like the one that's the stepchild. Dick Green, they don't make me wait and get my plate at the end. Because I got all the full rights and benefits of the name. I carry the same weight and privileges of everybody else with the name. Yeah, I'm going to do this a little bit because some of us need a little help. Because when I twist this, it's going to open up something for you. When I'm at the family reunions, I got the same full rights and benefits to get as much food as everybody else get, as long as I pay my money. Hallelujah. But watch this. In the will, do you know I have as much right and benefit as my other brothers and sisters? Well, my other brother and my other sister. Because I have the same name. So why are you walking around here telling me Israel are chosen people? Don't you have the same name? Let me get into some text then. Let's see here if I got any Bible. Go with me to Romans chapter 8 and 14, New Living Translation. Because adoption gives us all the full rights and benefits of the name. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, New Living Translation. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Hello? I love when it's just straight, plain out. Now, if you can't see that, I don't know how to kind of help you here, because all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Well, let me see if maybe I can make that a little plainer. Your spiritual leading indicates who's your father. See, I could have done this, who's your daddy? But I didn't do that. I didn't do that one. Your spiritual leading indicate who's your father. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, see, we got folks running around here saying, we're all children of God. No, that ain't what the text says. Matter of fact, John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus talking to folks who think they know who their daddy is. Jesus talking to people who think they know about family lineage. Jesus talking to people who think they know about full rights and benefits. He puts it this way. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Do you know he was talking to Jews? What am I saying? Stop thinking that we're second-class heavenly citizens. You have all the full rights and benefits of the name. We want to make Israel the chosen. Now, listen, I'm not here to bash Israel. I'm here to say those are your brothers and sisters the same. When they accept Christ, they're no higher than you are. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not the chosen people. God's people who has his spirit in him are the chosen ones. Amen. Y'all gonna work me today, ain't you? Romans chapter 8, verse 15. He says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. Do you notice God adopted us, gave us the full benefit of the name, the full rights of the name? Why? Because God adopted us. I used to wonder, God, why did I have to experience this adoption process? Because I believe I can better relate to it than most Christians now. Because I know what it's like to be adopted. I know what it's like to be outside of the family and people look at you like you're outside the family. But when you're adopted and you get the full rights and the benefits of the name, you can look however you want to. But when it all goes down, I'm part of it too. And you can't deny it. Watch this. I got papers. Say what you want to say. I got papers. I can prove my stuff. Wait, let me stay here and be good. So you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful. Look at this. We received God's spirit. You know what that means? We ain't always had it. We had to receive the spirit of Christ. You made a decision somewhere to accept the adoption process. Look at this. He said, instead you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. We call God Father because his spirit is within us. You ain't calling him Father simply because you ain't got nothing else to do. Let me show you something. Let me show you what is, let me remind you of when you weren't part of the family. It's almost hard to remember a time when you said God the Father when you were unsaved. You didn't have His Spirit. His Spirit was not bearing witness with your spirit, so you wasn't calling Him Father. The best you did was God. And you know it, you watch folks on TV, they sing, they bumping and grinding song, and when they finish, they go, I just want to thank God. Who's God? So just because you said God, see, you didn't have His Spirit, so it wasn't bearing witness to you being His son or His daughter. Y'all are working me today, but it's all right, Holy Ghost got me. Verse 16, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Verse 17, and since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. Y'all ready for this? Our rights and benefits include an inheritance. See, I'm tired of walking around seeing folks looking like, well, I don't know. You have an inheritance. But listen, I can't exercise your right for you. You got to do that. Stop acting like a stepchild. Why are you sitting in the back? Why are you acting like I ain't got nothing? The same blood that cleansed everybody else cleanse you. Make up your mind you are somebody because of what Christ has done for you. You got to make that decision. Nobody else is going to do it for you. This enemy's not giving up anything. What you going to take? It's yours. See, the name. When we adopt it, we have full rights and benefits of the name. Now, he says our rights and benefits include an inheritance. Now, we're going to share in Christ's glory. Are you aware that there's a glory that yet is to be revealed for Christ that you will share in because of adoption? See, you know, that is clear as possible. Christ's glory that is yet to be revealed, you will share in it because of the adoption. There's one other little condition, though. You need to be willing to suffer with it. Because if you can't suffer with it, so when they're ridiculing you, when you're dealing with the things that you go through for the sake of Christ, just know that there's some glory on the end of that. Because I got all the full rights and benefit of the name, oh, I'm getting something out of this. I'm getting something. See, I remember my wife said something one time, we were going through so bad in our life, it just seemed like it wasn't no tomorrow. And my wife said, God, if you're getting glory out of this, fine. You know, the reality is, not only is God getting glory out of this, but so are we. Yeah, I'm preaching to the right crowd today. So are we. The very trouble you in, the very thing you're praying about, the very thing you begging God to take care to fix. What if you understood that there's something in it for you? You know, it's almost like giving you some medicine that you absolutely hated. You trying to spit it out and everything. But I know you need this medicine because if not, you're going to die. I know you hate the way it tastes. It ain't the right flavor for you. I don't want that. I want something that tastes good. Why? It look like everybody else drinking good stuff. Well, you the one that's sick. We trying to save your life here. God is doing something in you to make you great. And you fighting it. Just take it. There's glory on the end because you got the full rights and benefit of the name. Let me see if I can finish some more. Remember times, can I be honest? I remember times at home I wanted to run away. You know, back then, parents ain't like they are today. You know what my mama and them would say when you talk about running away? Go ahead. Oh, yeah, they ain't even, they ain't even, they, they, They didn't even, I mean, it wasn't even a deep breath of consideration before they said it. Go ahead. Because, you know, used to find our little counterparts, you know, in school, they'd be like, I'm running away. We weren't running away. You get hungry enough, mama, we're coming back home. Because home was, as bad as home might have been, it was still home. Now, watch this. If you'd have ran away, how do you get the full rights and benefits of what's yours? If you decide to run away because the pressure's too much now, how can you expect to receive the reward that's due you later? You can't disappear for 20 years and come back and say, I want what's mine. The Bible calls you a prodigal son. Well, let's stay here. Y'all ain't helping me. Y'all just going to leave me on out here. So it's okay. It's okay. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I am talking right, well, I'm still on number one. Adoption gives us all the full rights and benefits of the name. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Bible says, who hath blessed us? Past tense. I want a blessing. Who hath blessed us? Past tense. Because you don't feel blessed, don't mean that you're not blessed. That's a couple amens. We have spiritual blessings in Christ because of the new name after the adoption. You know, when I'm talking to my dad, and, you know, because we people getting up in age now, you sit down when you're talking about the will and all of that stuff now. And he's telling me what's this and what's that and how this is going. You know what? Plus, I got the full rights and benefit of the name. Watch this. I'm not going to be blessed. I mean, it's designed to perpetuate the name. Well, y'all didn't get that. You really didn't. It's designed to perpetuate the name. What are you going to carry on? I hope somebody got that. I really do. Lord, if nobody else did, I got that one because that ain't on the notes. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, I'm going to have to work with you a little bit on this. We were selected by God before this world even had a foundation. I know some of us think that all of a sudden, one day, that we decided to get saved. No, the reality is you was chosen, you were selected before there was even a foundation that this earth is resting on. It was one day that God opened your eyes that you were selected. That's what happened. Now, but wait a minute. Watch this. Now, I need to read this again so you can, now just stick with me. Please don't check out. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Okay, we work with that. What did he choose us for? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So why are we feeling so condemned and convicted? You were selected, chosen by God before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in him in love. When this thing finishes, you holy and blameless. Okay, you want to mess with me? If you're not holy and blameless, so the blood ain't enough? Because that's the only thing that cleanses us, so you telling me the blood ain't enough? When it all finishes, we end up holy and blameless without love. I mean, holy and blameless before him in love. How do we stand before him? It's because of the name that we've been given through adoption that has all the full rights and benefits now. He said, I gave you my name. How are you manifesting? Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So God the Father prepared beforehand our adoption through Jesus Christ in accordance to his will for his pleasure. This is a shock, but this ain't even about you. My little 8-year-old self, when my dad made the decision for the adoption to take place, wasn't even about me. Remember what he said? I want all the kids in my house. Come on now. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. God wants all the kids in his house. Come on, y'all. All the kids in his house to have all the full rights and benefits of his name. My. In verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So we're not second-class heavenly citizens, but we're completely and totally accepted in Christ. Look at verse 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So God's immeasurable and abundant grace through Jesus Christ's blood provides for our redemption and the forgiveness of all our sins. Let me do it a little way. All our sins as in past, present, and future. All mean all. If all ain't all, all ain't all. I mean, it has to be all to be all. Because if it's not all, then it's not all. And if it's not all, that means it's some. And if it's some, that means we're still in sin. But he said all. All our sins. All right. Number 2, and I'm going to close with this. Not only through adoption do we have the full rights and benefits of the name. You ready for this one? Now through adoption, we are now authorized users of the name. Every time I sign a check, I'm an authorized user of the name. When they say, can you put your signature right here? I don't have to wonder which name to use. Doug, there's certain things I have access to because of my signature. And my signature has the name I was given through adoption. It's not another name. If I wrote something other than the name that I was given through adoption, it's not authorized. They say it's not my signature. Yeah, y'all trying to work me today. We are now authorized users of the name. What do you mean? Turn with me to Mark chapter 9, verse 39. Mark chapter 9, verse 39. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. What am I saying? When you look at the text, there was a man who was out doing something, and Jesus attributed what he was doing as a miracle. So performing miracles is an authorized use of the name you were given. I'm going to just say it one more time. Maybe Kim, I was speaking too fast. Maybe it was a northern accent. Maybe it was a... According to the text, performing a miracle is an authorized use of the name. So perhaps God is allowing you to get into some impossible situations so you can simply use the name. I mean, no need for a miracle unless it's a need for a miracle. I know maybe this is a little too deep. I understand. Maybe let's do Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Maybe this is a little bit more straightforward. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Do you believe? In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So listen, wait a minute. Casting out devils is an authorized use of the name you were given. Now, I need to do something right here, and I'm going to be very honest. I apologize if I offend anybody, but I bet you I got more Bible than you do to stand on what I'm about to say. First off, I do not in the scriptures see anything about a deliverance ministry. What am I saying? Every believer, when you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you have the ability to cast out devils. You don't need a deliverance ministry. You don't need to go to somebody's school of deliverance. You don't need to read everybody's deliverance book. Just lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Or just cast out devils. That's it. Welcome to Deliverance 101. We make things, you really want to see where this comes from? Look in Acts when they do the sons of Sceva, because they were not believers. They going around having been taught by somebody else, making it a deliverance ministry for believers. It's part of the package. You say, when you go on your job and you sit down with HR and they open up all of the benefits, you know why you get the benefits? Because you on the job now. That's part of your benefit package. Every devil is subject to you. Because you don't believe it, don't change it. I don't know what to say. Just cast them out. Let me watch this. I'm gonna help you. If a stray dog ran up in your house, what do you say to him? Do you have to speak dog to him? You're gonna get that dog up out of your house, right? I don't care if you holler at him. You're going to convey the message to that dog. You don't belong up in here. Every time a demon is somewhere in your path, it is a stray demon that you need to convey. Get out of my path. You authorized to do so. You don't need. Y'all don't make me. Okay. I'm serious. You look everywhere through the text. When Jesus had them casting out demons, wasn't no class. They came back and said, Lord, you know what? Even the demons obey us. Not because we had a class. You just said, go do this. Just go do it. Well, I don't know what's right. You know, can you say, get out? Because watch this. The spirit that's in you. See, it ain't about us. It's the spirit inside of me that you can't contend with. See, and words carry spirit. That's why somebody can look at you in the face and they can say the right thing, but you know they're lying because there's a lying spirit. Y'all making me work. You're making me work. See, the Bible, James 2 and 19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They already scared. No. See, most of us are thinking of us as believers. We scared. What if you knew the enemy was already scared? He already scared. Watch this. See, Deacon Green, they're telling me. I hear them saying, no, the devils ain't scared. Okay, right. Don't let them say, wait a minute, James 2 and 19. I'm in the book first. Now watch this, Deacon Green. Thou believes that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They shaking. Don't they say that? They shaking. Now watch this. Now they shake it. Remember when Jesus came up on the scene and they said, what you doing? Are you going to torment us before our time? They already scared. See, but we need to show up in the full rights and benefit of the name. I ain't standing in my own strength trying to handle this. This ain't about me. It's about the Christ that's on the inside of me. Y'all just wait. We're going to deal with some stuff. You can't have healing, deliverance, and unconditional love and all of that. We said we want that. Hallelujah, glory to God. Well, you know when you're going to see some stuff, okay? You can't be... See, them days are just sitting there going, Jesus, 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 Jesus. When we going to get past that? When you going to stand up and take your rightful place with the full use and benefit of the name? You got stuff going on in your house. Well, let me bring so-and-so. Don't be bringing them here. Handle it. You too old to be doing that. Handle it. It's time. Stuff on your job. What you going to do, quit? I need this paycheck, whatever the devil do. No, take authority. You begin to go into your prayer closet, begin to pray. Watch what God does. But now I told you, God ain't opening no doors you got the keys to. You walking around a pocket full of keys and ain't opening up nothing. Come on. Full rights and benefit of the name. He said, I gave you my name. How are you manifesting it? John chapter 14, verse 13. We almost finished. John chapter 14, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Listen to this. It is the only authorized name for any heavenly request. It is the only authorized name for any heavenly request. You could think that you could get a rosary and call on Mary if you want to. I am telling you, it is the only authorized name for any heavenly request. God ain't answering because of any other name. Buddha ain't gonna do it. Nobody else, no other name. It is the only authorized name for any heavenly request. He has given you his name. How are you manifesting it? Look at John chapter 15, verse 16. He says, ye've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What does whatsoever mean? I mean, let's just for a moment, whatsoever. Your situation is a whatsoever. Maybe you ain't asked for nothing big enough. You know, one of the things I'm starting to realize about God is God can't do nothing small. Okay, wait a minute. If he's a big God, maybe you ask him for something too small. Because how do you know it's too small? Because when he do it, you wouldn't even know it was him. I want to show you something. He says, whatsoever you ask in my name, or whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. First off, Jesus said, I've ordained you. Do you know you were ordained to ask? Because you have the full rights and benefits of the name. You're ordained to ask. This don't apply to everybody. It applies to the folks who got the name. There's certain things that my kids can ask for because they got the name. It's not that I hate the other kids, they just don't have the name. It's certain things you can ask for because you got the name. So just because everybody on the job going through the same thing, are you going to use the name on the job? Because they can't. Because stuff is happening in your family
And you say, well, oh, Lord, well, what am I going to use the name? Maybe everybody in the family can't use the name, but you can. Use the name. He said, whatsoever. God, my situation is a whatsoever. Yes, Ephesians, he says this. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could think and or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Watch this. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Now, wait a minute. It's exceeding. It exceeds what I'm thinking about. Then it's abundant. It's beyond what I can think about. And then if I ain't got enough going out this way, it's above. God said, bring it. What's your request? Bring it. Can't be too big. Bring it. See, we do this open-ended stuff. How do you know it was God? Y'all quiet here today. I believe it's the Father's Day. The name was given to us to be productive with the glory that God the Father desires. Look what it says. He says that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. But you know why? He wanted us to bring forth fruit, and our fruit remained. Because that fruit is what glorifies God. Show me the fruit from your request. Your request of God. Not corporate prayer, yours. I want to know, what has God answered for you? Well, you know, why are we afraid to pray? Well, you know, this is a big one. I better get somebody else to pray for this one. Why not you? Full rights and benefit of the name. Just as much a heavenly citizen as everybody else. Show me your fruit. What kind of fruit has your prayers produced? Because that gives God glory. Because he said your fruit going to remain. It ain't going to just fade away. Well, what if I pray for them and they don't get well? Why don't you find out what God want to do first? One of the reasons we fail in prayer is because we rush in and think that all of a sudden we're going to will our will on the situation. Will the will of God. Don't you know it's the will of God that some folk die? Even Jesus died, you all. Come on. Because death for a believer is not the end. Will the will of God. There's a passage in the Gospels where Peter, I believe it's dealing with Tabitha. Peter comes in, it's not in the Gospel. I'm not sure. I think it's in Acts. Peter comes in and I think Tabitha has died. Amen. He puts everybody out the room. Yes. And Donald, I'm thinking this. So what is he doing when everybody's out of the room? What's Peter going to do here? Right before he raises her up, what is he going to do? Maybe he finds out what the will of God is. Lord, is it all right if we bring her back? Instead, we like to do so. Lord, if it be your will, why don't you just ask him? Because then I know it's your will, so now I'm going to pray what I know is your will, and then I'm going to get the results because I know it's your will. All right, well, you say that's too complicated. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, please. 1 John 5, 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. So there's a confidence that we can have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So if it's his will, he hears us. So all we got to do is find out, is it? Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask. See, it's the full rights and benefit of the name, though. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Do you know God wants you to ask for stuff? So how much fruit do you have that remains? That brings glory to him. Y'all looking at me like I'm from another planet today, boy. Acts chapter 4. Give me 5 minutes. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus is the only name capable of providing all the rights and benefits of salvation. No other name is capable of providing all the rights and benefits of salvation. The name of Jesus is the only one. Thank you, Donald. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called upon the name of the Lord for your salvation? He gave you his name. How are you manifesting? Every head bowed, eyes are closed. The name of Jesus allows us all the full rights and benefits of salvation, provides us an eternal inheritance with our God. I don't know what your status is in life, what your situation is, but listen, there's no reason worth missing out on salvation. There is nothing. The best decision you could ever do is realize you were chosen for something far greater than what you're living right now. Salvation through Jesus Christ is not church membership per se. It ain't what we do in social activity and all of this stuff. It's a genuine relationship where the Spirit of God is living through you. Not that you're doing everything perfect every moment, but let God live through you. Let his Spirit bear witness that you belong to him. Why don't you experience the true adoption that God wants to bring about in your life? For those of us that may already have known Christ or may know him, I have a question for you as well. Not only am I talking to those that may not know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, but I want to speak to you that are believers. He gave you his name. How are you manifesting? What are you doing with the name you were given? Is your life demonstrating the fact that that old man is dead? There's a new nature in me. The people are seeing a difference because you're allowing the name of Jesus to resonate in every aspect of your life. Listen, if you're here and you realize, listen, I want to be saved, or I want to rededicate my life because I want to walk in the full rights and benefits of the name of my God. And you recognize that maybe you've been beneath that. You've not been living like that. And you know that now you want to exercise what you've been called to do. Listen, I'm going to ask you to make a very conscious decision today. A conscious decision of the fact that you've been given an authority, a name, an opportunity to be an authorized user of the name of our God. And he's saying, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Literally inviting you to make a request. Not scared of a situation or a circumstance, but literally asking you to inquire of him. If you're here and you say, well, listen, I want to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, or I want to rededicate my life right here. If either of those pertain to you, I'm going to ask you to come up out of your seat. Stand and come and meet me here at this altar. Let's pray. Let's get this right. Let's literally make a request in the name that we've been given and see what our God does in accordance to his word. Is there anyone here today? You realize I need to be under the name. When Aisha came up to sing, she was one of the first things that she said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein and are safe. How safe are you today? Are you standing in that name with all the legal rights and benefits? Or are you still on the outside looking in? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, on this Father's Day, can we honor our Father? We like to say it's Father's Day, but I believe it's the Father's Day. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Listen, I want you all to do something with me. I want you to pray with me today. God said, whatsoever we would ask, in accordance to his will, he would do it. And it's the will of God that all men be saved. I'm not doubting that. I'm not wondering that. I'm not hoping that. It's the will of God that all men be saved. And we know if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if he hears us, we have the petitions that we desire of him. So I believe today that if we pray, I believe God will keep this man of God. I believe everything that's afflicted him in the past, everything that has taken him off of the path that God has for him, that God can keep him. And God can give him a heart to want to be kept. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I stand with my brother now. God, I witness that he has come before you, Lord. God, I know that you don't turn away any that come unto you. Father, I pray that you would heal. God, heal his body. Heal his mind. And I pray, Father, that as he enters into this stage of life, God, begin to show him, Lord, what you have destined for him, that it's not too late, that he's not bypassed the opportunities that you have for him. Because, Lord, you're the one who redeemed time. And, Father, bring in front of him everything that you have for him, that he will not have to go back in the past to get anything other than what you bring before him. God, I pray every relationship that's contrary to the will of God for his life, that you would sever it. Lord, let your will be made clear and plain to him. I pray, Father, there'd be such a turn in his life that his turn would be so significant that individuals would see the difference, because they would see how he was and now see how he is because of your grace that has come upon him. God, I pray now I cancel every assignment of those that would speak things even into his ear gates that should not be spoken. God, that lying spirit that would speak to him, I cancel its assignment right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would stand guard, dispatch angels, Lord, upon this man of God's life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, they're going to take you in the back, but I want to get your information. I want to call you. I want to hook up with you, all right? So I'm going to be calling you. Okay. God bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you. It's the Father's Day. Hallelujah.